Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Boy, what a trade deadline. Nothing ever happens until it happens. Sauce Gardner to the Colts, Quinnen Williams to the Cowboys, Jets cleaning house. Seahawks add to their wide receiver core with Rashid Shaheed and Jacoby Myers sent to the Jaguars. Ruski game of the week, Packers taking on the Eagles. Berlin, we got another overseas game. Shoot me, Colts versus Falcons. Rest of the game picks throughout the day. Sunday night football, Chargers taking on the Steelers. All that and more. This is the Fulmer Ruski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fulmer Ruski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. We got CJ Medeiros. We got Justin Tucker. I'm Chris Kostich. Boy, we got a good one lined up for you, and we're going to get right into it. Trade deadline. Boy, Jets cleaning house. Sending Sauce Gardner to the Colts, Quinnen Williams to the Cowboys. It started with Sauce Gardner, so we'll start with Sauce Gardner. Trade to the Colts for, I believe it was two first-round picks, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, two first-rounders.
Two first-rounders. And A.D. Mitchell. So Jets add a young wide receiver to their core to pair up with Garrett Wilson. And basically this whole day, it was like, wow, like Sauce, like because Sauce was on under contract through 2030, basically. So the fact that they got rid of like Sauce Gardner looked like he was same thing with Quinnen Williams, seemed like that they were going to be like those guys that were going to be Jets for life. And lo and behold, everybody's on the table. So Jets obviously making their intentions clear, full on rebuild. And in addition to the Quinnen Williams trade, now they have six first round picks through the next two seasons. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But obviously you still have to hit on those picks, but in a sense, it's a good move from the Jets. Like, obviously, it's really the shock of it all is that you traded two all-pro guys. But it's a good move considering that Sauce and Quinnen Williams, their primes are going to get wasted. And you don't want to waste that on two, maybe three terrible seasons, including this year. Mm-hmm. So get some – and this is the – highest you'll ever get in terms of a return for Sauce and Quinnen Williams. So screw it, just do it. That's how I see it. The Quinnen Williams trade, of course, that was a first rounder and a third rounder, I believe, and it was the third rounder that the Cowboys got from the Micah Parsons trade.
It was a second rounder. Sorry, I didn't want to be
my apologies. Either way, from what they got in the Micah Parsons trade. So thoughts from you fellas, CJ. We'll start with you. Let's keep it to the Jets just to start. I want to hit on both Cowboys and Colts afterwards, but your thoughts on the moves that the Jets made.
Well, here's the thing with the Jets, folks. It's another year and another rebuild. It's just, it's so bizarre. You know, they're trying to stockpile first round picks like they did before. And at this point, when are we going to realize the definition of insanity? You remember what that is? Just doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. The Jets are actually a sneaky good drafting team for every position except quarterback. They got Breece Hall. They got Garrett Wilson. Mason Taylor looks solid. They've got a few good pieces on the line. You know, they got Quinnen Williams. They got Sauce. They've got, you know, quite a few. You know, Jermaine Johnson. But quarterback has been the one position that they were like, everything they touch dies. And I guess $1 million question is, are you going quarterback this year? Because look, I mean, the name of the game with every quarterback in this class is going to be development. And I don't trust to develop – I mean, I don't trust the Jets to develop a quarterback, especially not one from this class, any more than I would trust gas station sushi. Moving on from the draft side to the actual Jets side of things, I was blindsided. I really was. You could argue that – Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner were the two best players on the team. At least Sauce was. Maybe you put Garrett Wilson over Quinnen Williams. I don't know. It depends on the day. But they're at least the two best players on your defense. And I know Aaron Glenn wants to establish his own culture. I know that the new GM, whose name I forget, wants to establish something new. But trading away the two best players on your team is a hell of a weird way to do that. And even more so, I might add, what do you think this is going to do to the locker room? The best player on your team in Sauce Gardner, arguably the second best, Quinnen Williams, are now gone. Who do you have at defense? You lost DJ Reed. Do you think Jermaine Johnson and Quincy Williams are going to be the next men up? Well, for their sake, they better hope so. And I just feel like this might be like excruciating short-term pain for long-term gain. If you can keep drafting well, you're fine. But once again, if you stay on this path where you can draft everything but quarterback, then we're just going to be in the same cycle like 4 years later.
Tuck, your thoughts.
My thoughts are similar. They need to hit on the quarterback position. Otherwise, this is all for moot. We saw what happened in 2022. They hit on four of their picks. They got Garrett Wilson. They got Sauce Gardner. They got Jermaine Johnson. And then they got Breece Hall. And they still failed to make the playoffs because you need a quarterback. And Zach Wilson wasn't that guy for them. So, unfortunately, no matter what they do, unless they hit on the quarterback spot, they won't progress outside of the Jets being the Jets. So, until they find their guy for the future, which could be in this draft, I'm not sure. It could if they actually try to develop their players, which they can, but they've never been successful at the quarterback spot. Their best quarterback has been Mark Sanchez. And I think we can say he's not that guy.
And Fitzpatrick.
And even though I like Justin Fields, he's not going to be the guy long-term. Let's just be honest. So all in all, they need to figure out their quarterback situation and they have the draft picks and the capital to do it. I'm just not sure the Jets as a franchise top down will be able to do it. Just as an organization, I kind of worry about it. But they can draft. But I'm not sure about the quarterback position as of yet.
Yeah. It really is going to end up coming down to if they can actually draft that quarterback. And seeing how, you know, the past few quarterbacks have played out, or at least in the case of Sam Darnold and Geno Smith, they haven't really done that great of a job in the last 15 or the last decade of developing quarterbacks. All right, on the Colts side, obviously this is a move for a Super Bowl run. They are gearing up for a massive playoff run. Now, I guess we could have a quick conversation on if we think this is an overpay, two first round picks, but they are taking on a 5-year contract or a long contract for Sauce Gardner at the same time. So what do you guys think? Is this an overpay for Sauce?
It depends. If they win a Super Bowl, you could say F them picks like the Rams did when they won this, when they won the Super Bowl in 2021. But if they don't win the Super Bowl, yes, this is a severe overpay because now you don't have two first-round picks that you could use to help build a team. So I understand why they did it, but it will all be for naught if they don't, you know, win the Super Bowl. That's how I feel.
CJ?
I'm going to be brutally honest. You are a sucker and a loser if you part ways with a first-round pick at the deadline. It is simple economics. You, if you look at the trade deadline, right, where good players go for pennies on the dollar, and these teams that are doing salary dumps are ripe for lowballing, no, it's a buyer's market. And look, at the end of the day, I am tilting towards the Jets winning both trades, because you came away with three first-round picks. That's insane. Yeah, it's going to suck, but hey, you know, you can rebuild. Quarterback remains to be seen. But the fact that you got not one, not two, but three first-round picks in a buyer's market is nuts. As for the Colts, but this is one of those things where the Jets get an A and the Colts get an A-. You know, it was good for the Colts. And this, to me, signifies they're going all in. You know, Jonathan Taylor's having a career year. The defense is playing well. You're getting a Sauce. Of course, going all in with Daniel Jones isn't something that I think is necessarily wise, but this is an all-in push.
Yeah. It is interesting, especially because, like, now because he signed this contract extension before the season, and now the Colts are, like, the Colts, it makes sense at the same time, though, like, especially if the Colts plan on keeping him for the next four seasons, which I can imagine that they would. That is going to be the cost of two first round picks, unfortunately. But at least that's just how I look at it. On the Cowboys side, or CJ, you looked like you wanted to say something.
No, actually, I'm good.
I think this is good, but in the offseason, they're going to have to worry about cap structure, because if Daniel Jones plays that the way that he's playing, he's going to want to look for a contract. So they might have to worry about the quarterback position as well and what they're going to do about that.
Very true. Very true, Tuck. That's a good point. I guess let's just see how Daniel Jones plays the rest of the year. But if this is anything like Sam Darnold's year last year, then yeah, he probably will end up looking for a bigger contract. Or what was the contract that Sam Darnold signed for over in Seattle?
3 years something. Let me see.
So you look for that. Let's get into the Quinnen Williams Cowboys part.
3 years, $100.5 million, $37.6 million fully guaranteed.
For Danny Dimes, I can't see it being that high. But then again, that's what Sam Darnold's got, and look how he's doing. But am I really about to start comparing Daniel Jones to Sam Darnold?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
I just don't think there's a market for the quarterback right now.
No. All right. Quinnen Williams to the Cowboys. Now, this is a trade that was just, I think, was the biggest head-scratcher. It was like, what, is Jerry Jones really, like, putting all of his marbles into this team? Like, that's kind of how it seemed to me. And it was like, really? Especially because Quinnen Williams only has 2 years left on his deal. Like, it just felt really weird, especially with where the Cowboys are right now. Obviously, like, good on the Jets' part. They got a couple nice picks out of it. But this was a silly fucking trade if you're the Cowboys. That's probably the best way I can really put it at this moment.
The only reason I'm okay with it is because they had the capital to do it, and they still have a first-round pick next year, right?
Pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure because of the Micah Parsons deal. I think they still have one because they got two first. and they only gave up one to get Quinn. So if that is the case, I'm okay with it from the standpoint of they're not trying to compete this year. They're trying to do it within the next year or two, because I think they think the season's a wash anyhow. So they're trying to get talent now that's on the market and that people are willing to get away with. And so they saw Quinn Williams available, and they thought the idea of him and Kenny Clark on the front seven would be a good idea. And I was like, if that is the thing, I still wouldn't give up a first to get Quinn. I think it could have been cheaper, but I understand the thought process. But a first-round pick for Quinn Williams is kind of a bit steep for me, even though he's a quality player. But a first-round pick? Nah. But I understand it.
Cowboys still have two first-round picks for next season. And the first-round pick that they ended up sending to the Jets was a 2027 first-round pick. But it's like a conditional one. It's the highest of either the Cowboys or the Packers. So basically whichever team does worst, whichever team does worse in 26, basically, is what that means. CJ, your thoughts?
I don't understand. This reeks of a win now move, but the Cowboys aren't in any position to do that. Yeah.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
As a DT, Williams is a solid pass rusher, but your back four is terrible. If you're going to make a trade, low-key, it make more sense to trade for Sauce.
But you know, for two first-round picks? For two first-round picks, they probably heard that and was like, no.
No. I'm not disagreeing that, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, yeah, the pass rush is one thing, but the coverage is even worse. I don't understand this move for Dallas. It's a flashy move. It's a controversial move. It's a Jerry Jones move. But I ultimately view it as empty calories. Oh, there's one more thing that I forgot to mention. I mentioned Sauce, right?
Yeah.
He's on an expiring deal. Just remember that. The Colts gave up two first-round picks for player on an expiring deal.
I thought
he's got, extension. Another 4 years left. He signed an extension.
Wait, did he sign an extension? Because I know
he's before the season.
Okay, never mind.
I said that like 10 minutes ago.
Extension. I forgot he did. But regardless, still, okay, never mind. Then disregard that. I actually thought he was on expiring because it just came to me like, ah, crap.
I was saying, like, it makes sense to give up the two first rounders because, like, anyway.
No. But regardless, thing with Quinnen Williams is just, I don't know. Like I said, this is like the trade you make when you're a win now team, and the Cowboys aren't that. Unless you have like Aaron Donald, a defensive tackle is really not going to move the needle.
I see it. But if they can generate pass rush from that spot, I think it will help the back end a little more than what they're getting. So we'll see.
Maybe.
All right. Other trades that happened. Saints trading Rashid Shaheed to the Seahawks. Good trade for the Seahawks. What was it? A third rounder, fourth rounder that they got back?
Yeah.
The Saints. So good trade for the Seahawks. And you're upping your receiver core to pair with Kupp and JSN. So, and Shaheed obviously being a deep threat as well. So could see quite the Sam Darnold highlights coming up.
Yeah, but I'm surprised the Saints didn't trade more because they still have more people on the roster they could have traded. Like,
yeah,
Alvin Kamara, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis. Like, they had players on that roster they could have gotten rid of, but chose to keep.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Alvin Kamara was a name that was getting thrown around too. Like, in conversations with the Patriots. Okay. But CJ, any thoughts on this one?
Oh my God. It's good for the Seahawks. For the Saints, I thought they would be more active. I thought they'd be selling off more pieces because, you know, they are deep in a tank right now. You know, Kamara's old. You know, he's not himself. You can probably get some decent for him. Cameron Jordan. Although, to be fair, letting Jordan retire as a Saint is also cool enough, I guess. So whatever. They got rid of Trevor Penning as well, which, yeah, he was a bust anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Honestly, it's great for the Seahawks, but for the Saints, I don't know, man. That's all. Just, I don't know. It's a very Saints trade. We'll say that.
Yeah.
Mickey Loomis might be on the hot seat, God willing.
CJ, just watch your wire there.
Yep, sorry.
No, you're good.
I put my phone down. So it's
all right. Raiders sending Jacoby Myers to the Jaguars. I mean, Jacoby Myers got what he asked for. Finally getting traded, but to the Jags, especially with Travis Hunter on IR for a little bit. So needed wide receiver help for the Jaguars on the Raiders side. Well, now your only target is Brock Bowers and Ashton Gentry out of the backfield, but Raiders are going to continue to suck either way. The trade on this one was for a fourth and a sixth round pick in return. Any thoughts from you guys about this one? I would have loved to have seen Jacoby Myers come back to New England, but.
No, I wouldn't have. I know you, and I think Adam even wanted it too, but in that case, there'd just be too many mouths to feed between him, Booty, Diggs, Douglas, the rookie, Mac Hollins, or Williams, the rookie, Hollins, heck, Chisholm at the end of the bench there.
Yeah.
I know you all wanted it, but I didn't. Like I said, too many mouths to feed, and arguably more importantly.
Could have spent like Mac Hollins back or something.
No, I like him. Now, I'm not saying like you're better than Myers. That IG page is funny, though.
Yeah, it is.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
So the thing for me is that this was a very Raiders trade. Now Geno Smith can overthrow Trey Tucker instead of overthrowing Jacoby Myers. And the Jags, what a steal. You know, Brian Thomas Jr. doesn't have hands. Travis Hunter's on IR. So, yeah, honestly, I think this made sense for all sides.
Maybe this is what the Jaguars need to finally get their offense going.
It's a little too late at this point.
Yeah, it kind of is. But, hey, maybe it's a next season thing. Who knows?
I don't know. You never know. Like, they got a game against the Texans coming up, which we'll be talking about that a little bit more during our game picks, which obviously that's going to be a tough game considering their defense. Sorry?
No, because I'm trying to figure out, who did I pick for that game? Because C.J. Stroud is out.
Is he out?
Yeah, he's out with a concussion.
You picked the Texans, Tuck.
Damn it.
And so did I. But you know what? I don't care.
Yeah, let's save it for when we actually get there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into our game picks, starting with Ruski Game of the Week. This is the Fumble Ruski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
All right, let's get into Ruski Game of the Week. Monday Night Football, Packers versus Eagles. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is going to be a good one. I am going to enjoy this very much, to say the least. Great, great game to have on Monday Night Football. It sucks to be you if you have YouTube TV.
I know.
Oh,
at least you're going to get back on the court. It's all a scam.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay coming off of a bad loss last week. I think the only thing that you really can look at in terms of this, obviously coming off of losing to the Panthers 16-13, is that, well, you're back at home for Monday Night Football, but the problem is you got to go up against the Eagles. And this game is essentially for the number one spot in the NFC, right? So obviously Eagles coming in at 6-2, Packers 5-2-1. This could go either way. This could go either way. Tuck, let's start with you.
I'm excited for this game, but at the same time, I'm not, because the moment it gets to like 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, we know what's going to happen. Tush push their way into a first down or a touchdown. But all in all, I think they're both evenly matched to a certain point. I hope Jordan Love can bounce back from that abysmal game against Carolina. He needs to play better in order for them to have a chance to win. I think Jalen Hurts will continue the display he's shown us against the Vikings and against the Giants. And I believe I have the Eagles winning this one, but I think it's going to be a good game all the same.
Who's your pick?
I pick the Eagles.
Word. CJ.
This is a game, one of the games of all time. I got to go with the Eagles. I do. Packers, I know it's in Green Bay, but that the fact they lost to the Panthers scares me. And it's also not quite Toyota-thon yet. I'm not going to lie to you. If it was Toyota-thon, I would have chosen Green Bay. No hesitation. But they also lost Tucker Kraft. So I have to go with Philly. The thing with the Eagles is they're also wildly inconsistent as well, which is why I think you can't count the Packers out as also. Because, you know, maybe they're getting better. Maybe Kevin Petrullo strikes again. You never know. It's wildly inconsistent one game to the next. But I think it's going to be close. But I like Philly pulling out the win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the hometown favorites, the Green Bay Packers. Favored by 2.5 points. Give me the Packers to cover. Give me this and that. You know, I like a team that comes off a bad loss and they got a chance to redeem themselves at home. Now, obviously, like the Packers didn't look great, especially the first game without Justin Tucker. First game without Tucker Kraft. CJ, Toyota-thon's right around the corner, man. It's right around
mid-November. It's not quite mid-November yet.
Jordan Love has been playing like it's been Toyota-thon this entire season. I'm going to say Toyota-thon keeps on coming early, and it's the Green Bay Packers by 3. Yeah. All right, time for to talk about fucking Berlin. Colts Falcons. Colts are favored by 6.5. Spread or over unders 48.5. Packers. Boy, mine's all over the place. Colts coming off of a bad loss against the Steelers. Falcons coming off of a loss against the Patriots in a game that they probably should have won. Probably could have won, I should say. Not should have, but could have. The Colts, you know, in this on a grass field, sub 50 degree temperature. What did they do last week? They plummeted. Now, I obviously see why that the Colts are favored pretty well in this game. But when it comes to, you know what? Before I really give my take, I'll let you guys give your picks because I'm going to do a little bit more research about this stadium itself. So, CJ, give me your pick.
I'm going with Indy. And I know the Falcons have a really stingy pass defense. And I think Drake May is the only quarterback that's put over 200 yards on them. But that run defense isn't that great either. It's really not. And you know Jonathan Taylor is going to be seeing red after Pittsburgh put him in a box. So I'm not expecting a good Daniel Jones game. I am expecting a good Jonathan Taylor game. And, man, Falcons missing that kick. They have a new kicker. This is their third kicker this season. They got rid of Younghoe Koo. They just got rid of Parker Romo. Now they're bringing in, I think it's Zane Gonzalez, Browns legend Zane Gonzalez. If you know, you know. So I have to go with India. No, Drake London's a beast. He goes out there and he bullies defensive backs. Well, now they got Sauce. So I like India in this.
Tuck.
I'm picking Indianapolis to win this game. I think they will have the stench of their defeat to Pittsburgh well in their minds. I think they will come back with a vengeance. They will put belt to ass. And I think they will come out victorious. I think they're good enough to win this game. I know they got Sauce, but I'm not sure how much he'll be matched up against Drake London because he just got there. I think they want someone that's actually been in the defense for a while before he gets more accustomed to it, and then he'll start having those individual matchups. But since it's his first game as a Colt, I don't think he'll just cover Drake London flat out. I think it'll take more time, but I think the defense is still good enough to win them the game. I'm unsure about that Falcons offense, even though I like their pass defense, like CJ said, but I think the rushing attack will be good enough to get the Colts the victory here.
I'm going to go with the Falcons with an upset here. And the reason being is simply because it's going to be sub 50 degrees on Sunday in Berlin. And seeing how they played outside in cold weather, or if we're going to consider sub 50 degrees cold, which it's on the colder side, it's chilly. It's enough to maybe throw on a hand warmer. I say the Colts falter again. They couldn't run the football to save their life against the Steelers last week. Falcons defense, sneaky stingy. But obviously there are times when, you know, you give up 34 to the Dolphins. But I say they keep it going. I see the Colts being in a weird rut these next couple weeks. Give me the Falcons. If not to win, but to cover this 6.5 spread as well.
¿Buscas las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's? ¡Estás justo a tiempo! Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. ¿Estás pensando ya en poner luces navideñas? Aprovecha ahorros de hasta 50% en escaleras selectas. Precios de Black Friday sin las filas de Black Friday. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta el 11/19. Selección varía por tienda. Solo en tiendas selectas hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Next game on the list, Chicago Bears taking on the New York Football Giants as we head into our 1 p.m. early afternoon slate. Bears at home, favored by 4.5, over under 46.5. I mean, they had a good fight against San Francisco last week. This offense still has a lot of life, even though, like, Malik Nabers and Cam Scadaboo are out for the year. But Jackson Dart, man, just wills this team. It's unbelievable. I don't think that it's going to be enough to beat the Bears. I would like to see the Giants be 3-6 after week 10. That'd be cool. But I think the Bears are just going to overpower them this week, riding a lot of momentum, especially off that wild win last week. And Ben Johnson, you know, he's been coaching this Bears team into some weird wins. Sometimes it's all you need. So give me the Bears.
Same. I'm taking the Bears. I think Kyle Williams will continue the momentum he had against the Cincinnati Bengals and bring it into this game. I don't trust that Giants. I think the defense is all right, but I think it's not good enough to stop that offense that they have going on. Ben Johnson has been in his bag as of late, and I think he'll continue it. And I think Caleb Williams will take strides in that department. I think it will be close until mid-third where the Bears will start to pull away because the Giants just don't have the weapons to keep up, and I think it'll be a decisive victory for the Chicago Bears. CJ?
I got to go with the Bears here. And kind of like you said, I think it's going to be close, and then Chicago just ends up pulling away. Without Nabers, without Scadaboo, you're going to be relying heavily on Tyrone Tracy and Wandale Robinson. And yeah, I don't doubt that them and Jackson Dart are going to get their licks in, but honestly, I also think Ben Johnson's just a better coach, and they just don't have the horses right now. They're too hurt. So I like the Bears winning at home.
Minnesota or Miami and Buffalo. Buffalo favored by 9.5 on the road, over under 49.5.
Do we even need to talk about this?
Barely.
Buffalo.
Yeah. Countdown is on for Tua again, benched, released, cut, whatever you want. Same thing.
Evan Gale getting canned.
Yep. Obviously, Chris Greer is already off the list. It's only a matter of time. Minnesota and Baltimore. Ravens favored by 4.5 on the road. Second game back for J.J. McCarthy. Tuck, how are we feeling about this week?
I'm not going to lie. This is going to be a tough one because we're going up against the Brian Flores defense. And the last time was in 2021 against Miami where they just flat out blitzed us from start to finish and we couldn't stop it. So that is going to be an interesting one. Will they play us like they did? Like they did in 2021. I think Lamar Jackson has grown as a passer and as a quarterback, so I don't think that's going to be a viable option. I think the Ravens will do enough to keep them in the game. My question is, what is J.J. McCarthy going to do instead of Lamar? Because if J.J. showed us what he did against the Lions, then yes, I might be a bit worried. I might be a little bit worried, especially with my defense. I don't know which version I'm going to get, but I'm going to say he'll struggle because I'm hoping for that to happen. And I think the Ravens will pull it out. Not going to be easy. I think it's going to be like 24-17. It's going to be a struggle, though.
CJ?
I can see this game being a slugfest. All cards on the table. This game's going to be just ugly, I think. However, I think the Vikings have more explosive potential than the Ravens do, you know, just because, you know, Addison and Jefferson and Hockenson and, you know, Aaron Jones and all those fellows right there. For me, it's going to be a battle of which defense blinks first, a Brian Flores-led Vikings unit or a Zach Orr-led Ravens unit. I think Zach Orr's team blinks first. I'm tilting towards the Vikings in the Longboat, which is, you know, what they call their stadium there because it looks like it. But yeah, I got Vikings.
I'm also going to go with the Vikings here. I'm also going to go with the Vikings. And here's a fun little stat for you that isn't really reflective of why I'm choosing the Vikings, but it's a fun stat. Both games that J.J. McCarthy has won in this season, he threw for 143 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. Exactly 143 yards. My biggest issue right now, especially with the Vikings, is, J.J. McCarthy got sacked 5 times last week and still found a way to win. Same thing with that game against the Bears, sacked 3 times, still found a way to win. I feel like J.J. McCarthy still has that winning factor in him. And that's why I feel like that the Vikings are going to get the upset win at home against the Ravens, or at least cover this 4.5 spread.
It shouldn't be an upset if we're being honest. They should be able to win this at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Next game on the list, the Jets and the Browns. Right off the bat, I'm going to
– oh, God.
Right off the bat, I'm picking the Browns. I'm picking the Browns. It's – I feel like that Jets team is just shot in the gut right now with those trades. That's all you can – because, like, you picked apart, like, low-key, a top-10 defense in the league because they were playing like it at some point. The Browns are, in fact, the best defense in the league. And they didn't get picked apart at the trade deadline. So give me low vibes on the Jets. Give me the not so low vibes of the Browns to win this game.
I think the Jets will lose this game, but I picked the Browns to win this game. But let me be clear here. If the Browns lose this game, I need Dylan Gabriel benched because now he's had a bye and he still sucks. He needs to go. But I think the Browns are going to be good enough because they just lost their top corner. and their top defensive tackle, they should not still be competent enough to win them this game. I think the Browns are good enough and talented enough to win this game. This should be an easy enough win. It's the Jets, a depleted Jets team after the trade deadline. They should not lose this game. If they do, you might have to fire Kevin Stefanski and bench Dylan Gabriel because this is ridiculous.
CJ?
Oh, my God.
Actually, wait, CJ, before you make your pick, what's the over-under for this game?
Oh, you took the ticker away, you little bastard. Yeah. I hate you so much. You are an enemy of the United States, and you will be dealt with thusly. The over-under is probably some low, like 28.5.
No, not that.
38.5, I meant. And a 38.
Close. It was 38.5.
No, I said 28. I was right. 38.5.
It was 38.5 when we started the show. It dropped down to 37.5.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is the toilet bowl, folks. Every other Super Bowl, but this is our toilet bowl. This is going to be an ugly game, a slugfest, a slobber knocker, whatever you call it. This is going to be bad. This is going to be unwatchable, so much so that if you are a Jets or a Browns fan, the NFL as a whole might owe you compensation. That's just how it is. I have to go with Cleveland because the vibes of the Jets are going to be low. You know, two big names, two locker room leaders gone. And the Browns are coming off a bye week. I think Dylan Gabriel is going to – actually, how do I put it? I don't think the Browns are going to win. I think the Jets are going to lose, if that makes sense. You know, there's a difference between winning a game versus not losing. And I think the Browns are just going to not lose. If you catch my drift. I was just going to say, you know, because that Browns defense is going to feast on Justin Fields, and that Jets defense is depleted. So, you know, maybe Quinshon Judkins can get something going. Jerry Jeudy could develop hands again. That'd be super. But if they lose, yeah, then Dylan Gabriel's got to be benched. He's already not that good.
Yeah. Kind of curious to see some Shadur action at this point. Not like that I want to see him, but like I'm just curious.
You gotta see what he has.
I'm just curious what's gonna happen. How much you guys want to bet that Aaron Glenn's gonna sit on his hands for the final 2 minutes of the first half again? How much you want to bet?
We're betting the mortgage, kids.
Yeah, I'm betting the mortgage. Basically the other game of the week, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New England Patriots. Patriots have made it to prime football again. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo on the call.
But I thought it was a 1 o'clock game.
It is a 1 o'clock game, but Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are on the call. Oh. Glory be to God in the highest that the Patriots are back. Everyone's calling them a cheater. Everyone's saying that they suck and they're soft. Unreal. You know why? Because Drake LeMay has sailed into America and is about to take down the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Everyone's talking about that pass rush. You know what they're not talking about is Tampa Bay's secondary and how trash it is. Give me Drake LeMay and Stephon Diggs. Now, I know Keyshawn Booty, that sucks. Most likely not. You know, they're hoping at the very least he'll be back for the Thursday night game against the Jets. But give me the Pats in an upset where they finally claim their spot and secure their spot as a top 10 team in the league. DJ, fellow Pats fan.
I guess it's me.
The Pats guy.
Okay, so let me just say, I'm going to be open. I'm tilting towards Tampa. I think New England's going to keep it close, but Tampa's coming off a bye week. The pass rush is going to be in the face. And low-key, my one gripe with Drake May is that he can hold on to the ball for too long. And it makes you wonder, should stats be a QB or should sacks be a QB stat? But at the same time, when Kayshon Booty went down for New England, their offense ground to a halt. I'm hoping that doesn't continue because you have Diggs, you have Douglas, you have Hollins, but that Tampa pass rush scares me. Drake May is on pace to be sacked like 60 times. And I do not like that all that much. I'm worried. He needs to get the ball out quicker. We kind of saw rookie Drake May last week, even though they won, but he was able to, you know, clutch up and pull the team to victory. Yeah, Tampa's weird because they're also banged up. No Mike Evans. We don't know if they're going to have Bucky Irving or Chris Godwin. Right tackle Luka Dekke's going to be back. But games are won and lost in the trenches, which is why I'm going with Tampa. But New England, one sack on over 35 pass snaps for Atlanta was not good. Their pass rush is so weird. They're either going to get like four sacks, five sacks in a game, or they're going to get like nothing. There's no in between, very feast or famine. And also, scrambling quarterbacks do tend to give New England a little trouble, which is why I'm tilting towards Tampa. But
we're calling Baker Mayfield a scrambling quarterback.
He's a little mobile guy. He gets out
there.
He
is a mobile guy. He's not.
Okay, fine. No. Let me rephrase that then, since you're going to be a pedantic asshole. What I'm saying is quarterbacks that can scramble, like, they hurt New England. Maybe not even run first, but I don't know. I'm just saying. And also, they're going to have Gonzalez, though. Gonzalez has been on the injury report, so that's going to help a lot. I don't know if they're going to have Stevenson. So it might be another Travion Henderson and Terrell Jennings type of day. And there is one thing I'll say, though. As a Pats fan, just don't be shocked. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because here's what's going to happen. Patriots lose. We're going to hear, oh, they're not contenders. They're pretenders. They haven't beat any good teams, even though they beat the Panthers, who are above 500, and they did beat the Bills in Buffalo. So they're going to do that. Oh, but if New England wins, then we're going to hear, well, Tampa was injured. Well, it's an asterisk. Like, that's what's going to happen. So they're either going to be labeled pretenders if they lose. And if they win, they're going to put an asterisk on it, whatever. But Drake May. I'm still going with Tampa, but still Drake May.
Drake May. Drake May.
Drake Lee May.
Talk.
Well, I've made my pick clear. I think the Bucs are going to win this one. I think your little run that's been going on comes to a head right.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Right here, I think Baker Mayfield's going to show you why he should be an MVP candidate this year. Emeka Ebuka is going to have his way with certain members of your defense. And then all in all, I think they're just going to do just enough to win. I am worried about that secondary that the Bucs have. I am a little bit concerned. But I think Baker's going to outduel Drake May in this one in this game. I think he'll do just enough to get them the win. It's going to be close throughout the whole game, but I think Baker pulls the game off if it's close going into the fourth quarter. I think he'll have a game-winning drive within him.
Bucks. See, that's why I chose the Vikings, you prick. Screw you.
You know what, Tuck? I hope Zach Orr stays your defensive coordinator for the next decade, and I hope you train Lamar for a
second. I can't take this heart attack every week. I can't.
You know what? I hope the Ravens get up to a 21-0 lead and then blow it. That's what I want.
What, you can't hurt me anymore, CJ. I've seen us give up a 15-point lead with 5 minutes to go. You can't hurt me.
I'm no longer depressed. You know, I'm just the Ravens fan.
Hey, Tuck, I got a better one. I hope we have a Dolphins-Broncos-style game in the first half. I should say they're up like 30-0. Or
go ahead and die for me.
Amen. Amen. Actually, no, not to Tuck. I like Tuck. That is a sound effect. I never told Tuck to die.
We still got a couple more games on the 1 o'clock, so let's get through them. This should be fairly quick. Carolina and New Orleans.
Carolina should win.
Yeah. Carolina should win.
Carolina.
Yeah. Carolina should win.
Hey, they're a solid team. They're above 500. I'm going Carolina.
They're a great team. They're a great team.
And New Orleans, you know.
It's New Orleans right now.
Yeah, they're New Orleans. I mean, heck. Mickey Loomis's reckless spending has killed them. You know, they don't have any talent. They're now having to trade Rashid Shaheed. Good Lord. I mean, obviously, New Orleans is one of the most corrupt cities in the United States. Maybe that's how Mickey Loomis is keeping his job. We'll never know.
Maybe so. I guess the over-under on this one.
The Saints game?
Yep. Guess the over-under.
41.5.
Oh, you should have kept it to the 30s. It was 39.5.
I hate you with every fiber of my being.
Carolina's got the spread of his favored by 5.5 at home. Jacksonville and Houston. Houston is 1.5-point underdogs to the Jaguars. guess the spread on this one. Tuck, sorry, I've been leaving you out of.
No, I'm fine with you guys.
Chris likes to bother me with his spreads and Vegas nonsense.
It's fine. He can do that all he wants to.
Yeah, because you don't have to deal with it. All right, W. Let me play your game. I got 38.5. We'll go with that.
Tuck, what's your guess?
I'd say 34.
Oh, 38.5. 38.5.
I actually did a thing. I could die happy.
Yeah. So Jacksonville, of course, they picked up Jacoby Myers, as we talked about before earlier in this episode. Texans, well, they're Texans. Their offense still blows. And we were talking about, too, earlier that, you know, there's a chance that there's going to be no C.J. Stroud. So that should
be. There will not be C.J. Stroud. There's not a chance.
There will not be no C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, he's out.
He threw his head on the ground. I don't know if you saw that concussion. It was scary.
Yes. No, you're right. You're right. So who they got at quarterback now?
Davis Mills. Oh. Mills, as I call him.
Davis Mills. That's crazy that he's still on the Texans. It's crazy. Jaguars. Tuck. I got the Jags.
I begrudgingly have the Texans.
Reluctantly, I got the Jags.
You know, I'm going with the Texans because of this man right here. Davis Mills. You know what? And it's not even like a Davis Mills thing. I'm just going to come out and say it. I don't trust the Jaguars. You almost lost to the Raiders, the Geno Smith-led Raiders. And it's not even like early in the season, like, you know, like you have an excuse. Oh, no. You almost lost. That game went to overtime. It shouldn't have gone to overtime. Gross. Disgusting.
Didn't you guys lose to the Raiders?
Yeah, in week one.
Okay, I was just checking. So it can happen.
I was just checking. It's so funny. I'm Justin Tucker. Oh, hey, Tuck, I have a question. Aren't you guys 2-5?
We're 3-5.
Oh, shiver me, Timber. 3-5.
We're 3-5 and we're moving up, CJ.
Oh, and we're moving up. Yeah, not as long as Pittsburgh keeps winning, buddy. So
they have to see us. They have to see us. Twice.
Yeah, and I can see you losing. So
I was just winning. All right. We're getting off topic.
There's a statue of a murderer in your team parking lot. I want you to know that. Anyway, let's be frank. I'm going with the Texans because, A, like I don't trust the Jaguars. I don't. This is a very Jaguars type of game to lose. I'm going to be real. And, hey, maybe Davis Mills honestly, I wouldn't count out the backup bump. I really wouldn't.
But it's the backup bump against the 500 above 500 teams.
True. Counterpoint.
Davis Mills.
Texans defense.
True.
Even Jacoby Myers or not, I do not trust the Jaguars offense against the Texans defense. And beyond that, that's really what it is. This is my upset of the week. This really is my upset of the week. I think the Jaguars are going to blow it because Jacksonville. You can't spell Duval without an L.
Quite quite the upset of the week to have. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the late afternoon games along with Sunday Night Football. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
All right, week 10 late afternoon games. We'll start with the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals. Give me the Seahawks. Just give me the Seahawks. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Because Seahawks, well, they're going to be a Super Bowl contending team. There's nothing you can do about it. That's basically all there is. And that's my preview of the Seattle Seahawks versus Arizona Cardinals. But big news, of course, that we have to talk about. Jacoby Brissett named the starter basically till whenever Kyler Murray gets back off of IR. But we all know Jacoby Brissett has ripped the starting job away from Kyler Murray. I think that's for sure.
Well, yeah. Here's something, though, right?
Yeah.
And this is something that I want everyone to be cognizant of. The head coach, you know, he's doing the head coaching and he's, you know, Jonathan Gannon, he's huffing and puffing that there's really no QB controversy. But I will tell you something, boys and girls, there is. Yeah, I know Murray has two wins compared to Brissett's one, but the offense just looks better. They're producing more. The games are closer. And beyond that, something that I want everyone to realize is we've already discussed this. Murray's not the guy. He's just looking better. And now that he's on IR with a foot thing, I can't help wonder if it's a phantom kind of deal, you know? And I got to get the joke in now. So Murray's going to be out the next four games. As of this recording, it's November 6th. You'll listen to it on November 7th. The new Call of Duty game comes out on November 14th. And Kyler Murray just said, ah, screw it, Brissett could have the starting job. There's COD to be played. Also, somebody literally did a thing. Like, they made a graph about Murray's statistical decline whenever a Call of Duty has, like, a double XP weekend. I don't play it, but apparently it's a big deal for Call of Duty people, and Murray's stats literally go down whenever there's like a whole graph. You can Google it online. It's free. It's just very funny to me. So I'm going with the Seahawks. I think Brissett, I won't say keep it close, but I think it's going to be like a two-score game, but it's a high two-score game. Probably like 35-24.
Duck. Tuck, you're muted.
Apologies. I was actually looking for that graph. All in all, I think the Seahawks should win this game pretty easily, even though it is a division game. I think it'll be pretty tough going like into the game. I think the first half will be relatively close, but I think Seattle's just overall just the better team, and they'll pull away. It's simple. Sam Darnold's going to have an MVP-caliber performance. I think that the Cardinals' defense is solid, but I don't think it's good enough to stop the Seahawks and what they're trying to do. I think it'll be kind of close halfway through the third, and then Seattle's just going to pull away easily. Seattle should win this one.
Yeah, Seattle's favored by 6.5 in this game. I'm very curious to see how Rashid Shaheed fits into this offense. Kind of curious how many deep balls Sam Darnold's going to be hucking to him.
Mm-hmm. By the way, before we move on, I found the stats about Kyler Murray on double XP weekend. Yes. And I know Adam will complain that it's going too long, but Adam ain't here. We miss him, though. So real quick, Murray's average passer rating in general is a 97.4 on non-double XP weekends. On double XP weekends, it's an 89.6. These numbers are rounded. Passing yards. 251 on non-double XP weekends, about 245 on double XP, which is only a 6-yard drop off, but still noticeable. Completion percentage is roughly the same. It's 67.3 to like 67.1. No, to the gulags. And then win-loss record. This is the damning one. 18-16-1 to 4-7 on double XP weekends. So that's going from about a 53 to a 36. And I know it's not big drop-offs because he's a pretty mid quarterback in general, but the fact there is a noticeable drop-off on every noticeable statistic, this doesn't have passing and rushing at all, so about or interceptions, but the fact that there is every time he's double XP weekend, his stats take a noticeable dip, that's pretty damning, is it not?
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Well, probably the reason why they don't have touchdowns and interceptions listed is because, well, he hasn't played in as many games as non-double XP weekends, and you'd really have to look at the average numbers for that, which they should have just added the average numbers at that point. But anyways, next game on the late afternoon slate, the 49ers and the Rams. This is going to be a fun one. Yes. Rams favored by 4.5 on the road. Rams are looking like gangbusters again, and I think they're just going to get the win. This feels like a game that the 49ers will end up losing just because, like, it's just one of those seasons. Like, they're 6-3. Like, credit to them. They are 6-3, right? But now they're at the point, right, where, you know, they're winning in games that they should be winning in, a.k.a. the Giants, the Falcons. They got an upset, or you could consider it an upset win against the Rams earlier this year, the Saints, the Cardinals. Week one, we went against the Seahawks. But anyways, Saints, Cardinals, Falcons, Giants, like, consider those, like, your should-be wins. And then losing in weird ones to the Jaguars, you should have lost game against the Bucks, which they did lose. And then they lost a weird one to the Texans. So, if anything, I see the Rams getting the split here. Although Kyle Shanahan's record against Sean McVay is rather quite good, interestingly enough, which is odd. But I think this is going to be one of those games that Sean McVay brings the juice. Matt Stafford brings the juice. Give me the Rams in this one.
I got the Rams in this one because I think this is more of a revenge game for what happened earlier this season on Thursday Night Football. I think the Rams are looking for a little bit of payback, so I think they're going to be a little extra motivated for this matchup and try to even the score to 1-1 and tell the 49ers, not today. I think that will be a driving motivating factor. And I think they'll try to blow the doors off the 49ers.
Actually, hold on my pick. CJ, give your pick because I need to relook at what this record is.
Yeah, there was an error in our pick selection process. We all picked the Rams, but for some reason it's showing up that we all picked the Niners.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Nobody really knows why this happened, but there was an error on our end. We all picked so for the Fumble Rooski Pick'em that's coming out, it's going to register that we all picked the Niners, but no, there was a glitch. And as a whole, no, we've all picked the Rams. Yeah, that's what it is. Sorry about that. We'll try to deliver you better stuff in the future, but hey, technology is something else.
So Kyle Shanahan holds the regular season advantage over Sean McVay, 10-7 all-time record. McVay has the playoff advantage, though, the one game that they faced off in. So for some reason, I was thinking it was a larger win total for Kyle Shanahan on his end compared to Sean McVay. But anyways, yeah, so I'm going to stick with the Rams.
CJ?
And obviously, yeah,
we're going with the Rams. Just the Niners are way too injured. That's just it's kind of a wash season. Even though they did, you know, they did shock them, but the backup bump has long worn off.
And well, Mac Jones has been.
They're saying even if Purdy does play, it's like so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mac Jones has still been playing pretty solid for like for this entire stretch that he's needed to be in playing. So I think they'll still be able to get the win if need be, or if it ends up getting to that point, but I'm still taking the Rams. Final game of the late afternoon slate, the Commanders and the Detroit Lions. This is like the get right game for Detroit. Dan Campbell said after their loss last week to the Vikings that he himself did not have his guys prepared to their fullest ability after the bye week. Get right game incoming. Washington has a chance to be the first team either ever or since 02 to have four straight games of losing by 21 or more points.
Ooh.
Let me look that up. Pardon me. It would be four straight games. And they're currently on a four-game losing streak, which started with their one-point loss to the Bears. Since then, lost by 22 to the Cowboys, lost by 21 to the Chiefs, and lost by 24 last week against the Seahawks. So there's a very real chance that they're going to lose by three or more scores in four straight weeks, which when you really think about it is kind of unheard of. Like there are some very bad teams that we've seen in our 23, 24 years of living. I'm just speaking amongst the three of us, right?
Yes.
But never have we really seen teams lose four consecutive weeks by 21 or more points.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a little like shit. Look at the Jets, right? Like they're not losing. They really suck. Same thing with the Raiders. They really suck, but they're not losing three straight weeks by 21 or more points. Like one of those games is going to come down to the wire. Evidently enough, weirdly enough, I should really be saying. So yeah. Anyways, Lions by 100.
By 100. Lions got this one. No, I'm not sweating this too much. The Lions got it.
Yeah. CJ?
Look, these past few games have sucked for them, granted, but I'm still going with the Lions. Look, no Jaden Daniels, no winning. It's a lost season. No, he's not coming back. Get off the hopium, get into rehab, and get on to next season.
Yeah. A little bit of breaking news from Ian Rappaport. DeForest Buckner. Not traveling with the team, with the Colts to Berlin, and is out for Sunday. So there's your hour, your 40 minutes after talking about the Colts news. Sunday Night Football, Chargers versus the Steelers. This is another one where the spread changed while we were recording the show. It was 3.5. Now it's Chargers by 2.5 over under 44.5. Look, I see this as the Steelers and Mike Tomlin reeled you back in last week with the win against the Colts. And now we're going to lose them again when they lose to the Chargers. And then we're going to be reeled back out. And that's the Mike Tomlin cycle of Mike Tomlin, because that's just how things work with him. Chargers, well, they're still dealing with injuries.
Joe Alt's out for the year.
I was getting there. I was just
sorry.
No, you're good. I was still pulling up the depth chart just to like double check.
Trevor Penning is the right tackle?
Yeah. So it's Bobby Hart, who's also beating up himself.
Oh my God.
Questionable. Mekhi Becton's still questionable. So yeah. And we've seen that when the Chargers don't really have a healthy O-line, they tend to fall apart. So that's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. See how this plays out for them, Cotton.
Good.
But this secondary is also still so trash, so very trash. And if anything, I could see the Chargers try to utilize the short game a little bit more. And really try to force feed the ball to like Keenan Allen and whatnot. Give me the Chargers.
unfortunately, I have the Steelers. After what you guys just told me and you, and what the Steelers have on defense when it comes to that pass rush, you guys expect me to have, like, hope that the Chargers can stop T.J. Watt and Nick Herbig from getting to where they want to get on the field and Ben in the inside and Cam Hayward? No, I have no faith in that line. Even with Trevor Penning coming over to help, that's still not good enough to stop the Steelers. They're going to apply pressure to Justin Herbert all game, and it's going to be a problem. I got the Steelers winning this one just flat out because of their defense.
CJ?
I think this is going to be a shootout. I think, and you guys know this as well as I do, Justin Herbert is a master of the quick game. Jim Harbaugh as well. And I think they're going to be just fast enough to keep Pittsburgh on their toes. If the line can keep Herbert upright for even 2 seconds, I think that's 2 seconds too long for the Steelers to deal with. Aaron Rodgers has been streaky. Their offense has been just weird this whole season. Mm-hmm. So, honestly, I kind of like the Chargers with, I guess you could call it an upset, injuries and all. Because like you said, Chris, every season there's a handful of games that Mike Tomlin's Steelers drop that they just have no business losing. This is that game right now.
Yep. All right. That is our game picks for this week, for week 10. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, to recap Thursday Night Football, Broncos and the Raiders. God bless us. God bless our soul. That's all I really have to say. We'll be back after the break. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
Always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Boy, what an ugly game that was. Golly. Golly. Broncos win 10-7. Boy, what? I guess some takeaways is I don't think I mean, look, Broncos. Yeah, they're 8-2 for a reason. Da 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 da. They're 5-0 at home. They're pretenders. I've come to the conclusion of our topic when talking about the Colts and Patriots and the Broncos. I've come to the full conclusion: Broncos are pretenders. They're pretenders. That is just, that was bad. That was a terrible, terrible game. Bo Nix, 16 for 28, 150 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions. Obviously, the Raiders' offensive side wasn't much better either. It was just the battle of defenses, but you would have thought that, oh, maybe, you know, the Broncos beating up pretty good on bad defenses, maybe they'll do the same thing against the Raiders. Nope. Let's just drag our feet. Just drag our feet again. Let's just do that. Now, credit, like, they've won a good amount of these slugfests, but it's the defense that they're riding on at this point. That's all it is. Like, the offense is just there. And I go back to, you know, these statistics from the last 2 years and the fact that, you know, the difference between the year before Bo Nix to Bo Nix's rookie year, the only difference that the defense became a top 10 defense in the league.
That still hasn't changed.
And it still hasn't changed. Like, I don't know what Bo Nix's or the rest of the offense's analytical numbers look like in front of me at the moment, but I can be damn sure that it's going to be very similar to the last few years. Yeah. On the Raiders side, Geno Smith, 16 for 26, 143 yards, and an interception. An interception, by the way, that wasn't his fault. It off a Genty Span.
Running back, technically, but, you know.
Yes. Either way. So I was saying this before the show, too, or before the show, before we resumed, was that, you know, obviously Geno didn't play that great. He also got sacked 6 times, but hit, like everyone on offense was playing terrible. Like not just Geno, like the receivers could not catch to save their lives. Terrible balls from both Geno Smith and Bo Nix. The Raiders receivers were terrible. The Raiders O-line couldn't stop the Broncos D-line and their pressure. Just a terrible game all around. Yeah, that's basically my analysis on it. Tuck.
When I tell you that was one of the more boring games I have seen in quite some time, I am not lying. And at first, I didn't think it was going to be that bad because the Raiders came out 3-and-out, the Broncos came out 3-and-out, and then the Raiders started to gain momentum. They started to move the ball, and then all of a sudden, Ashton Gentry gets into the end zone. All right, 7-0, and I'm like, okay, things are happening, things are going here finally. And then by the end of the second quarter, the Broncos finally score. I'm like, okay, 7-7. Hopefully the offenses start to go. And when I mean they did a whole bunch of nothing the rest of the way, I mean they did a whole bunch of nothing. The only reason the game ended 10-7 was due to an interception and Carl Danielson missed a field goal. That is the only reason this game ended the way that it did. This game almost went into overtime. Oh, my God. This game was boring. I'm not going to say abysmal. I just thought it was boring. The offenses did not come to play at all, not even a little bit. I don't know. I understand why the Raiders are the Raiders because they suck, but the Broncos should not be looking this bad on prime time. They should have dominated this game from start to finish, but they couldn't even do that at home. They were at home and they were looking this bad. I don't know what's going on with Bo Nix. I don't know what's going on with the rushing attack. I don't know why the play action wasn't working. That Raiders defense should not have looked that good against the Broncos offense, but they got whatever they want to. Third and short, where you think the Broncos should get it, turned into fourth and short. It's like, ugh, just a real nasty game altogether. And the Raiders had chances to win this game, but the Raiders are the Raiders, so of course they weren't going to win this game. It's just, I agree to an extent with Chris about them being pretenders, but it's, hopefully over the next 10 games with their mini bye, they can fix these mistakes and go on. Because I think they're going to make the playoffs, but if they play like this in the playoffs, they're getting bounced.
CJ?
Hi, I'm CJ Medeiros. Did you watch this game? You may be entitled to financial compensation. That's all that was going through my head while I was watching this. I'm not even a fan of either team, and yet this crushed my soul. This is, remember, you know, back when you were in high school and you had to take this government-mandated scam called the SAT? This Thursday night game was that level of soul-crushing boredom. Yeah. That's the only thing I can describe. It's like taking a standardized test. This game was so boring. Good God. It's like watching Pop Warner, except for the fact, at least I can guarantee they'd score more. Good Lord. Ah, God, you know, it's now 11:54 at night. I want my time back from watching this. I should not have watched this. I mean, to be fair, at halftime, I just opened up my laptop and was, you know, doing other stuff like, playing games and stuff, looking at jobs, like just, the game was on the background because I was that disinterested. And for the Broncos, yeah, no, they are pretenders, especially when Bo Nix transforms to his horrible alter ego, as fans jokingly call him Mo Picks. He became that again tonight. And worse yet is just that they cannot play a complete game. That is my problem. They do not play a complete game. Maybe they play a good quarter, maybe they play a good half, but they've not put it together yet. And yeah, they're 8-2, but God, it's an ugly 8-2. And like Tuck said, like, you know, you keep playing like this, you will get bounced in the first round when you go to the playoffs. But the Raiders, you had every chance to win the game. Denver was handing it to you on a silver platter, but the Raiders beat themselves. The Broncos didn't beat the Raiders. The Raiders beat themselves. I says to Chris before the game, or before the show, Al Michaels said during the game, it doesn't feel like, or something to the effect of, it doesn't feel like Denver won. It felt like Denver escaped. This is an ugly win that leaves me with more questions than answers. But as for the Raiders, oh, you think I forgot about you? Oh, no, 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 no. I'd take a picture of this graphic so that I remembered this. The Vegas Raiders, you know, they lost 10-7. Yeah, Daniel Carlson missed that field goal. Yeah, that sucks. But before that missed field goal, ready for this? Geno had a pick. They had a punt that got blocked. 9 penalties committed by them. And most damning, a touchdown that was negated by a penalty. It was these silly little mistakes. And granted that one or two might not mean anything, but these add up. Like there was a, this rub row, I think it might've been Tucker or Thornton that got called on it.
Yes.
Where they just tried to do a rub row, but they ended up getting like essentially a block in the back. I don't think it was called a block in the back, but it was close enough.
Pass interference.
Okay. I would have gone block because he completely blindsided the defender from behind, mm-hmm. but I digress. And oh my God. Like I said, so when you have all those mistakes plus that missed field goal, you weren't going to win. The Raiders beat the Raiders. And as a wise man once told me, if you don't like suffering, you don't like Raiders football. Classic Thursday night game. Forget the Broncos throwback unis. This was the real throwback. A terrible Thursday night game. We've had it a little too good for a little too long. The football gods have decided. So they decided to give us a snooze fest. This isn't even a snooze fest. This is a Benadryl party, considering how sleepy these guys were.
Yeah.
We've had blowouts. We've had close games. There was never a game as bad as this one this season, at least this season. I can't recall.
Because,
game a few years ago where it was like 3-0. I think it was the Vikings and someone, but that's the only other game that I can think of in like the past 4 years where I have practically been put to sleep.
No, I think there was a Colts Broncos that game.
Oh yeah, I knew it had the Colts. So I thought it was no, I never remember. But yeah, no. That was it. Colts Broncos where it literally ended 3-0. Hey, another game having the Broncos in it. Wow. But yeah, that's
even the Chargers Vikings game wasn't as bad as this.
Yeah. Another, obviously the other news from this game, Geno Smith getting injured. Pete Carroll came out and said that it's a quad contusion that he has. But the game you guys are thinking of is the Seahawks and the Bears from last season, week 17, also involving Geno Smith, where the final score was 6-3. Good. That's what you guys are thinking of.
No, there was a specific one that happened years ago when Matt Ryan was still playing. It was Matt Ryan versus Russell Wilson, that game.
Yeah, anyway, this is it. It was Vikings Raiders. That's what it was.
Are you sure?
I'm looking at it right now. December 10th, 2023. Vikings beat the Raiders 3-0, the lowest scoring NFL game in 16 years. ESPN.com.
Gross.
So yeah, that's what I was saying. So I knew it was the Vikings. Yeah, Vikings. And okay, so the Raiders were involved, not the Broncos, but the Raiders. Shocking. Yeah, 3-0. That is what this game reminded me of. That is what this was.
Yeah. Back to the Broncos real quick. They went from scoring 77 points in 5 quarters to scoring 28 points in 8 quarters. This is also the third game in their last 5 that they have failed to put up more than 18 points. Bad. Just
very bad.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that just about does it. Anything else you guys got before we close the show?
Nope. Oh, other than the person that had the 2 interceptions for the Raiders, Kiki Kelly, Blue Kelly, was drafted by the Ravens. Yes, drafted by the Ravens, and we let him go. It's funny how that works out. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Almost like you could use him now.
Yeah,
almost. It's almost like we could use him. We definitely could use him now. But you know, things happen.
Here's another thing to describe how I felt about this game. That's how I felt. All right. That's all the scheduled content that we have for you today. Thank you for tuning in to another Friday episode of the Fumble Risky Podcast. We have new episodes coming out on Tuesday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and anywhere that, you know, you can listen to a podcast. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRisky_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's Justin Tucker. He's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you on Tuesday. Over and out.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.